Hi, my name is Donna Rudolph. I'm the founder of Teeny Tiny Treatments. Welcome to Teeny Tiny Talks, a platform where we speak to individuals who are changing lives and raising children at the same time. I can't wait for you to meet my guest, Charlie Sapro. Charlie is the president and founder of CS Recruiting, which she started from the ground up over a decade ago. She has 14 years of direct recruiting experience within the logistics, transportation, and supply chain space. Today, she leads a team of over 30 and manages a multi-million dollar organization where she focuses on making meaningful connections to empower others to discover their full potential. Charlie has worked with many small to medium-sized businesses, as well as Fortune 500 companies, to help them identify the right talent for their organizational needs. Charlie is a dedicated yogi and encourages her clients and her team to practice mindfulness in the workspace and beyond. She is married to her college sweetheart and takes pride in setting a good example to her three young boys, ages 10, 12, and 14. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Donna. So good to see you.
Before we discuss how a nice girl like you gets into trucking and the logistics of supply chain in the transportation industry, can we just confirm or like bust some myths that I have about truckers?
Sure.
These are all my own anecdotal biases. Like, this is not something that I talk about with people. Okay. Number one, are most truckers male?
Yes.
Okay. Number two, truck driving is for those who are uneducated.
Not necessarily, but that's the majority of the demographic.
Okay. And are the salaries low?
No, you can actually make a really decent living as a truck driver and see the world while you're doing it and have a ton of flexibility and control your own schedule.
That's so interesting. Okay. Yeah. Truck drivers cause accidents.
They don't necessarily cause accidents. I would say that the majority of the companies that we work with have really strong safety procedures. There's a ton of technology out there that's very preventative. So no, I'm going to actually say no, they don't cause accidents. They're well-trained and safe drivers are on the road.
Most people who drive trucks cannot have families because it's too much time spent on a road.
Nope. There are opportunities that are short haul or local. So there are actually a lot of truck driving opportunities that will get you home every night.
Okay. It's easy to drive a truck.
That I don't know. You definitely have to go through certification. I've never actually driven a truck, but really? I feel like I drive a truck with my 7-seater SUV, but no, I can't answer that one, but plenty of people figure it out and are able to go through the training.
Okay, so now let's go back. Let's step back. What did you major in college and how did you get into this?
So I was a business major and marketing was my focus. And I actually did go into marketing right out of college. I spent about 6 years on, when I had my first son, I went back to my marketing agency after my maternity leave. And I loved my job. I loved my company, but it was very thankless. And, you know, it was a kind of job where I would work till 9 o'clock. At that time, my husband, who went into the transportation industry right out of college, Chad, he was the owner of a transportation technology firm that he had started with his brother. So I went back to my job and kind of reevaluated. I had a baby. I wanted to be a working mom, but I didn't want to work at that capacity. And so I asked Chad and his brother if I could come work for them. They had 8 people in their company at that time. The deal was done. I resigned from really my career in marketing. The night before I was supposed to start, Chad got cold feet. He changed his mind. And he's like, I think my friends are going to feel like it's really weird that my wife works at my company. And that was the one night of our marriage. I made him sleep on the couch. I was like, you just ruined my whole career, all my plans. But I still went to my new job the next day. And they just went through a huge growth spurt where I fell into a recruiting position. And that's really how I got into it. Not where I ever expected to be, but wouldn't have it any other way.
Is this still the same company or then you started a recruiting firm?
Yeah. So I did recruiting at Chad's company for about 4 years. They sold, stayed on with the new owners as a freelancer. And then when I finished those projects, I was on LinkedIn as a logistics recruiter, started to get inquiries. And then I started my own recruiting company. Yeah.
So and then you're basically feeling like you saw a need in the industry. You're like, okay. So you started out sort of as a freelance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a freelancer. Okay. Okay. And it wasn't, I didn't have a business plan. I didn't go to a bank and get a loan. It was like, oh, I'll take on one project. I'll take on another. And I'm a people pleaser. So I wanted to do good work. And I just got to a point where it was real. Like I had a real business and revenue and I couldn't do it alone. So my first hire was my husband, Chad. He had been in between jobs. Right. So he joined my team and we grew the business together. He was on the team for about 8 years. He's moved on since then, but yeah.
Did you have to let him go?
No, I didn't have to let him go. It was a mutual decision. So, and it came at the perfect timing because it was right before COVID and he was starting to figure out what he was going to do. COVID hit, 3 children, you know, homeschooling. So yeah. It actually worked out very well.
Cool. Okay. What is it exactly that you're doing? You have truckers, right? I assume that you need to put them in positions where, I don't know, X drives all the genes to the Gap from this fact. Like, what are you doing exactly?
Yeah. So you have it partially right. I mean, we are paid to make introductions. We are paid to bring 2 parties together. One is a hiring company and one is a job seeker. We actually don't recruit truck drivers themselves. So a little bit of a fallacy there. We focus on the industry. We're not exclusive with like executive positions, but we will recruit executives for a trucking company, even somebody who is managing truck drivers, sales reps. In addition to that, we also work with manufacturers, distributors, technology companies. So anything transportation, logistics, supply chain related is what we do. And those are the types of roles we recruit for. So it's what makes our world go round.
Okay. And you have a female owned business. This is like a, right? You're a member of
WSB. Yes.
WSB. Okay. Uh-huh. Do you have mostly females working for you?
We actually do. And we're definitely, it's not balanced right now. We have 32 employees. I think we have 6 males. Recruiting is really our profession. And I would say recruiters are probably, there are probably more female recruiters out there just because it's an emotional job. You have to be very organized. You have to nurture. But you know, when I see a male, like I almost consider that diversity. I'm like, let's get some guys in here. So yeah, but it just happened that way.
Okay. And what do you look for in a hire?
To be a successful recruiter, you have to have that grit. You have to hustle. And I say that in a very good way, like hustling sometimes has a negative meaning, but you've got to be able to multitask, which I know is like a thing of the past. You have to be a matchmaker and very resourceful. So knowing how to leverage all the technologies, all the relationships, the conversations. And at the end of the day, it is getting, you know, 2 people in the same room that can benefit each other. And the rest is history there.
At this point, are people coming to you or are you cold calling?
I've never made a cold call in my life. No. So very proud of that. We have good jobs with good companies. These are all salaried positions with benefit. We have a brand, we have a reputation that now more people come to us than ever before. But when we have a very niche position, I mean, that is what we do. We go out and really handpick people based on what our client is looking for. So we're soliciting, but again, it's not a cold call. Like they want to hear from us.
I see. Okay. So can we just like backtrack for a second? So you started out like on LinkedIn, people were coming to you. How do you get to a point where now you're providing benefits? And did you get outside advice, outside investors? Like what was sort of the genesis of how that happened for you?
It was again, like going back to me wanting to do good work and provide a important service. And so for me, it was just opportunity. Like I think of recruiting and also being an entrepreneur as this dirty pile of laundry that is always there. So it's like you know, you wash the laundry, you fold it, you put it away, and you're done until the next pile is there waiting for you. And that's business to me. It's like, you never are done. I can close my computer at the end of the day, but there's something out there that I miss. Chad had been an entrepreneur. He's very good with the books and the behind the scenes stuff. So I can't take credit for scaling the business on my own and managing the cash flow, but it's, you know, you do more business, more money comes in, you hire more people, more money goes out, and it's just, you got to spend money to make money.
That's right. That's right. You're the CEO, you're the president. What is your title? You're the CEO.
I just started calling myself the president.
Okay.
I'm not the CEO. We don't have a CEO. I don't know what it is that I do not want to have that title yet. Maybe one day.
Okay. So are you guys actually in a physical space? Like, do you walk into an office and see 30 people every day?
We did for 10 years. And then the pandemic sent us home. And prior to the pandemic, we were very flexible. And it's a funny story. I mean, we hired people from Chicago. Our office was in the suburbs. And in order to get good people, we had to make them a deal that they could work part-time at home. And so this is going back to 2010. But the pandemic just really proved that we're super productive when we are home. But it's amazing. We've kept our culture intact virtually as well. So
wow. And what would you say is your culture?
I would say our culture is really our values. And the five values that we live by as a company are, one, make a difference. And everything you do should make a difference in your life and someone else's. The second one is connect. Very obvious as recruiters, but connect the right people at the right time. The third one is be curious. So always learn and want to learn and to put yourself in a position where you're inspired. The fourth is win together. It's a team effort. Nobody wins by themselves in our company or anywhere else for that matter. And then our fifth value is do the right thing. And just always trust your gut and do, you know, use your judgment to do what you would want someone else to do for you.
That's awesome. Okay. So you have three boys. Right? Three boys, ages 10, 12, and 14. Just explain to me what a day in your life looks like briefly. Pre-pandemic. And I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So pre-pandemic, everything was a rush. I mean, very selfishly, I love working from home for that reason. I just have time and energy. But, you know, right now my kids are three different schools. It's really challenging. They have three different start times, three different locations. The amount of emails I get from the different principals and I don't even know who goes where or what, you know, who has that teacher for math anymore. Yeah. If there's an emergency, call dad. Right. And that's how it works with our family. It's like, I will like block the call. And then by the time I get back to them, they're like, oh, your husband already picked up your son. You know, they're already at the doctor's office. So, it's a constant hustle and it's all about balance. So my kids are athletes. They're probably overscheduled, but they love it. So we're always, I'd say I spend my days in front of a computer. And that was pre-pandemic and post-pandemic. I come home, I make dinner, I drive carpools, and then I drive more carpools.
You make dinner every night?
No, but during the week, Chad and I are very, very good at tag teaming dinner. So I have no problem ordering DoorDash when I just can't. You know, there's just days where like enough is enough.
Things go according to plan. Those are great days. What about a day when everything's like, who helps you? Who's your like go-to? Do you have a good system in place in terms of like when the shit hits the fan?
Yes. And I'm a very big pick your battle kind of girl, but I'm very big on outsourcing and delegating. And I would say that is something that I do in business and at home. We have a phenomenal nanny who's been with us for 10 years. Chad and I, again, have a great partnership and we are both equally involved in balancing that. Grandparents around the corner that are always willing to help and always having like at least one good mom friend for each kid. Just having that one person who knows what's going on here and really like is intimate with our family to be able to help out.
That's so important. I understand that like your three boys are all athletic, but I assume that they're different in personality. Like everyone has their own. How do you deal with the ones like when someone needs a little bit more attention, like how do you find that balance? And do you and your husband do a good job of sort of splitting like that kind of energy?
It's tough. I mean, two out of three of my boys are really passionate about sports. My little one, he'll play, but he's starting to discover that he's really into acting. He's really into cooking. And so, So, I mean, by default, because they're athletic, Chad is a coach. And so he is at every practice. He is at every baseball game. Now, of course, I will go and I'm on the sidelines, but he has to be there. So that is one area where he owns. And then when they're home is when I can really spend more time with them. I love spending one-on-one time with my kids. It's way easier said than done, but that is something that I try to do, even if it's a bike ride or a walk or, hey, come to the store with me. I just want to be with you for an hour. It's hard, but there's definitely that, you know, that sacred time where we are together.
Oh, absolutely. What are some similarities and some differences in how you're raising your children versus how you were raised?
I mean, going back to working and just having work ethic, it was not an option for me. And I did what I had to do, but I didn't know any different. So, you know, when I was growing up, a lot of my friends went to overnight summer camp and I didn't. And I remember I was a waitress those years and I would sit between shifts and I would write them letters. And now I just want to give my kids the opportunity to be kids. So my kids are privileged enough to go to overnight camp. And it's to me like the opportunity for them to unplug and just let loose and, you know, to really enjoy themselves. That's something that I really want for them. I was raised by entrepreneurs and I totally respect my parents just, you know, pushing me to be accountable for, you know, my own work, for my own income. Even if I was 14 years old, if I wanted to buy something, I had to earn the money.
Right.
My kids aren't quite there yet. I mean, they will help out. I will definitely compensate them or bribe them. But I'm letting them be kids. So yeah. I feel like they've got a lot more freedom than I did.
Okay. What is sacred?
Yoga and meditation is very sacred. And that is something that grounds me. I found yoga. I was a runner for many years and I found yoga coincidentally the year I started my business. So it all happened at the same time. And I don't think I would be where I am professionally without yoga. And the pandemic forced me to really like figure it out at home and have a balance. But yoga led me to meditation and just like really embracing the power of breathing and mindfulness and taking that time. And that to me is like, no matter how bad my day is or whatever's going on, I always have that to ground me. And that is my time I cherish every day.
Okay. Is there a difference between how people perceive you and how you perceive yourself?
For sure. I mean, it's the whole imposter syndrome. You know, I think that, not that the grass is always greener, but I do think that, you know, sometimes people probably look at me and they're like, she has it all together. Like she has it figured out. And I do not. I have tools and I have resources and things like meditation and yoga and friends and relationships that keep me, you know, focused and motivated. But I mean, I am a huge learner. And so anytime something stumps me, I go right to a book or right to a webinar or a podcast. And like, that's how I kind of fulfill that gap of, you know, gosh, people look at me like I know what I'm talking about and I actually don't. So it's my job to figure it out or to just surrender and be like, I don't have this together and I make mistakes. And I'd say in the last year that something as a leader that I've really embraced is telling my team, keeping them informed throughout the process and not always having the answers and being okay saying, this is our goal. I don't know how we're going to get there, but we will. We'll figure it out. We always do, but I don't have the answers. And if anyone has ideas, bring them. But yeah, it's that, you know, that balance of, you know, yeah, who someone thinks I am versus how I perceive myself.
Right. Wow. That's interesting. So cool. Has there ever been a point in your business where you're like, I can't do this anymore, or where you thought that things were not going in the direction that you had hoped and like you had, I don't know, feelings of giving up?
Yes. And I would say, I don't want to say it happens often, but I create that feeling for myself. And I think that the more I've practiced meditating and just kind of like figured out who I am and who I'm good at, I've let go of it, but it's my own expectations. And that's where I get, you know, overwhelmed or anxious or frustrated because I put too much on and I always see opportunity. So that's when, you know, it all builds up and I'm like, I can't do this. And then I have to realize like, oh, wait, I'm the only one who expects me to do this. Nobody asked me to do this. You know, we are a recruiting firm, but we have a lot more to offer. And so now one of my big ideas is how do we expand into consulting? And I put the pressure on myself at midnight to, you know, be working on these plans, but no one's asking for it. It's just opportunity that I can't pass up.
Right, right. What is the most difficult part for you of raising children and having such a serious job?
The balance. I think that, you know, my kids came home from summer camp and my middle son was like, how was your summer? And I was like, no different than the rest of the year, buddy. And he's like, oh, you work in the summer? I mean, this is a 12-year-old kid who's just assumed I get my 2 months off as well. Right. So And I think the community I live in, there aren't a lot of working moms and there aren't a lot of families where both parents are working. And so I think for my kids, sometimes it's like unfair that mommy has to work and, you know, I drop off instead of staying sometimes, or, you know, I have the nanny take them because I have a work call or a conference. So I think that's the hardest part. I know it will do them good one day. And I know that I'm leading by the example I want to set, but I think right now it's more, if everyone,
you get glimpses into them watching you like positively.
Yeah, I do. I think working from home has actually opened that up so much. I don't think they had any clue what I did when I would leave at 7:30 and come home at 5.
Right.
Now, you know, they don't really know what I do, but they see how serious I take it. And they see the Zoom calls and the, you know, just the constant busyness. They respect that.
Right. If you could give your 18-year-old self some advice, what would it be?
It would be that there's still a lot of time left to peak. And I think that is something that, you know, I was not the popular girl in high school. I was not the coolest girl, but I realize now, like, I hope I haven't peaked yet. That's actually how I think of it. And I look at people who, you know, I'm going to say that they peaked in high school and everyone looked at them and wanted to be them. And I'm okay with it now. And I wish I knew that then, that there's still so much to do.
Yeah, it gets so much better.
Yeah, it gets better. Exactly. And you get better. It's like,
And is that something that you like, do you talk to your boys about that? Like, do you guys like discuss these kinds of things? What's like your family dinner talk?
Oh gosh. Do you even want to know? It's usually very inappropriate, no, I mean, I would say when I get like philosophical with my kids, they're like, stop it. But no, I mean, we're so real with them. Like if I'm struggling with something, they need to know because I'm not going to be my best self. And there's going to be, you know, part of me is going to be over there and they're going to realize it. So, no, I think we're just very real with them about, you know, what it takes to be successful. And, it's not just being born into the right family. You know, I had to work my way up. So, just making sure they know that.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. We're going to do a speed round where I'm just going to shoot off a bunch of questions. Are you ready?
Go for it.
What is your go-to app?
LinkedIn. I know that's not even fair, but it is.
No, like, I get it. Yeah.
Straight to LinkedIn.
Straight to LinkedIn. A greatest parenting hack.
I said this before, but I would say find a great mom friend for each of your kids. I can't do it alone.
Yeah. Other than your company, what's a company that you watch?
I watch a lot of companies that are female owned, female entrepreneurs. So, you know, Sarah Blakely with Spanx, a great example, and any podcast, any book that's written by, I'm reading this book right now, The Emotional Entrepreneur, written by a female. And
who's it by?
It's by Scout Sobel.
Okay.
It's about embracing your emotions as a business leader and not trying to hide them. Like that's actually what drives things.
Cool. What is your best go-to dinner?
Breakfast for dinner. Always. If all else fails, there's always eggs and there's always pancake mix and toast and breakfast for dinner.
Are your kids good eaters?
They are. They're good eaters and they're pretty self-sufficient. Like they can make their own food now. Hallelujah. We've gotten to that point in parenting.
Oh, that is a real hallelujah. What do you do for self-care? Yoga, meditation?
Yoga, meditation. I always say that I'm the kind of person that I invest in myself for like long-term things that may take a couple hours, but it lasts me. So like I get no chip manicures. I have my hair straightened with keratin, you know, anything that it's like that will take me through is the way I do it.
That will save you time later.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Moving on. Is your glass half empty or half full?
Full for sure.
Yeah. Has it always been?
Yeah. There's times, you know, there's definitely times in life where it's been half empty. You know, I lost my father 15 years ago and, you know, there was no light at the end of the tunnel for a period of time. I had fertility issues where it was like, this is, you know, what I want. I'll never have it. But now I'm like, everything works out and, you know, definitely half full.
Again, like such a perk of aging.
Exactly. I did not know it.
Perspective. Yeah. Something you don't realize in your 20s.
Yeah.
A beauty product that you can't live without.
My Dyson hairdryer. It's a big investment, but it is worth every penny.
That's a good one. Thank you. Yeah. What is the best show that you watched in the past year in the pandemic?
So I never had interest in Game of Thrones until I did. And Chad watched it with me for his second time, which I think he actually really enjoyed.
That was love.
But I actually think he was like, oh my gosh, I learned so much more and I kind of knew what was coming, but I forgot. So.
Absolutely. Okay. You have 1 minute. Plug yourself.
So CS Recruiting is a third-party recruiting firm. If there are any companies out there that either manufacture a product, distribute, transport, and you are looking to hire people, we are your firm. We are very big on LinkedIn. I've actually never been on Facebook. LinkedIn is my jam. So you can find us there. We share a lot of content about the industry, supply chain, logistics, transportation, about recruiting, about leadership, about parenting. So I have learned in the last year that the more you give, the more you get. And it's all about just reciprocating.
Absolutely. Charlie, this has been such a pleasure. I think people are going to get so much out of this. You're so interesting. And thank you for having such a willingness to be so open and warm and honest.
Of course. Thanks, Donna. It was such a pleasure talking to you and catching up.
Same here.